Man, praise God. So good to be back to worship together, especially with these guys. I appreciate Kevin, worship team. Always more when I get back from being on the road and not being able to experience worship with them. It's always that much sweeter to just experience God's presence together as they lead us in worship. And Happy New Year. I've been contemplating the new year, as most of you have. It always starts with my body for some reason. Amen? And so I'm going to make some pledges regarding the protrusions that are being hidden by the new shirt that my mother gave me. But seriously, I've also been thinking, as many of you have, about just the beauty of what God is doing in our body, and just reflecting on the past year and the awesome experiences that we've had with the Father. And it started where I want to start today as we reflect on this past year and think about this new year. For me, I'm excited about what I see God doing in each one of you, the changes that I'm seeing in my own life. First of all, the depth of the knowledge that I've gained this past year just by doing life with God and with you guys, and just us being able to be God's experiment here at the Gathering Place without any concerns for whether we fit any mold or not. That's been so freeing to me. It's opened up so much understanding for me of the truth about who God is. And so I can't tell you guys how many times this during the holiday season, as I've talked to people about our church and tried desperately to describe in terms that they could understand what this is like, with not much success, how much I appreciate you guys just doing this journey together. And I know you guys enjoy it as much as I do, and it's always evident on your faces, even after a long New Year's Eve for many of you. I see the light of the reality of who God is on your faces, and how awesome it's been just to discover God this year. And so I want to take some time to look at this past year. First of all, I just want to talk about, let me give a couple of references of Scripture that I'd like for us to read together. And I don't have a wireless mic, so I'm just going to read these with you off of the PowerPoint. But first of all, if you want to look at it with me, by the way, today, Kevin, I appreciated particularly the worship song, and I don't know that I can find it, but the one that says basically that we are his, and that's it. What's that lyric? Where's Kevin? Come on, Kevin, you're supposed to know, huh? Whatever. I don't think that was a lyric, but anyway, it was just, when you boil it all down to something, if you had to say, make a statement about what the Christian life is about for us and the things that we've discovered this year, it's about being his. It's just being God's. That's it. It's everything else happens when we're his. Everything else that God is doing, wants to do, and wants us to be or whatever in this community and in the world, it all comes from being his. And I think God is bringing us to that place of understanding that these are things that the things that God has done this past year, I think we'll see, are evidences of his spirit flowing through us. It's evidence of us encountering God, and because of that, the river of water is flowing out of us into the community. And we're just beginning to see that. And so I look forward to this next year with anticipation about how much more of God's Spirit will flow through us to touch and change lives. And we'll first of all change us and then change others. We've been in John, and I've been reading on, even though I haven't been able to preach these passages, in John chapter... if you look with me, John chapter 7, this is one of the verses that kind of stuck out to me this past week. And then I'll go back to John chapter 3, which I didn't get a chance to preach. But I want to make reference to something that I believe Jesus is making reference to here. In verse 37 of John chapter 7, he says this, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said,'" and by the way, the scripture has said it many times in the Old Testament, numerous times through in Ezekiel and in Isaiah, in Proverbs, there are numerous references, which I won't go through this morning, but if you're interested, it's a great study just of comparing the person of Jesus Christ and the Spirit to water that flows. And so this is what Jesus says here. He says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so Jesus is talking about the Spirit that will flow through us as being this river of water that would come into us, and as we understand the reality of that, would flow out of us into the lives of others. You go back to John chapter 4, and let me just read the passage that you probably read the Sunday. Derek probably read the Sunday that I was gone. Verse 13 of chapter 4, Jesus says to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, he says, he tells her, "I will give you water, and you will thirst, you will never thirst again." And so she says, "Where are you going to get this water?" Jesus said to her in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty anymore." And he did. And once that water got in her, what happened? This transition happened where she began to water the community, if you will. That water that Jesus placed in her became a spring of water, and it sprung up to eternal life, not only for her, but for others. Kevin, I appreciate you going to Ephesians today, chapter 3. Let me just go there with you guys. Prissy, if you still have that one from Kevin this morning, look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says the same thing, basically. He uses different terminology. He's not talking about water, but he's saying the same thing. Kevin shared with us in chapter 3, he ended up at verse 20 where he says, "Now him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to his power at work," where? Within us. Within us. What is that power that's at work within us? It's the truth of the gospel. It's the person of Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's the truth that we're so desperately trying to understand, the truth about the God that we serve. Look back at verse 7. Paul describes this. He says, and this is in chapter 3 also of Ephesians, if Prissy can get that up. It says this in verse 7, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power." All right, so Paul says, I was given this gift first. Jesus tells the woman, "You will receive the water." The Old Testament, and Jesus talks about the fact that we will, when we receive the Spirit, it will be water, living water. But it first comes this revelation and this understanding of the truth of that, of who God is. That gospel reality of this God of grace that will come into us, first of all. And he says, it was given to me through the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now he's preaching it. He received it, now he's preaching it. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. I'll stop there because I don't want to go and preach Ephesians today. But you guys with me this morning, y'all awake enough to feel what I'm feeling? The beauty of what is going on in this body. It's not a preacher who's able to convince a people who reluctantly give in to avoid conflict or because they're looking for some list of things to do that will make them feel spiritual. That's not what we are. We are a group of people who are experiencing God individually and bringing it together for celebrations corporately. We are growing our own children. We are teaching our own children, and we come together to help to do that here. We are growing personally in our understanding of who God is, and it is motivating us to get out and share that with other people. It's so radically different than what we thought it was. And Paul says the same thing. It was a mystery that was hidden that's been revealed to us. And because we are so excited about the mystery of the grace of God, this beautiful story about the grace of God and the reality of what that means for our daily living, we are motivated, man, to get that out to other people. And we've done that this year. We've done that. That whole cycle has happened in us. And we've talked about it by God's design on Sunday mornings. We've come together, and I, first of all, just want to say again, man, how much I appreciate the fact that we can come and celebrate the gospel together on Sunday mornings with Kevin and his team. There is not a better team, and I don't mean skillfully, although I don't believe there's anybody better that way either. I'm talking about a better team to lead us in worship because these guys are experiencing God for themselves. We have a worship pastor who preaches to me every Sunday. And I love that. You know, God speaks through him and through the words and the songs that they sing every Sunday to just cause me to celebrate the realities that I'm experiencing and beginning to understand about God. Are y'all with me on that? I mean, what a wonderful privilege that we have to come together to do that. And so God's been doing that, and he's been joining what's been happening in worship with what he's been giving me for the word for this body and bringing us to the place where we're on the same page every Sunday, and it's miraculous because we don't plan that way. We just do our thing, and we seek the same God, and he brings it together just like he did today in beautiful ways. Not that there's anything wrong with planning. It's just, you know, Kevin works full time. We just don't have time to do all that. But God puts this thing together, and so the reality is God is giving us a message. So what has he told us this year? He told us to be traitors. Did everybody understand that? I hope. Started on March the 20th. You know, God's been giving us this message that we need to be traitors. And that is that we're willing to trade our pursuit of the American dream for a world that desperately needs Christ. And I saw this transition happen in our body, that we begin to be others-focused. And to so many, and I'll give some of them, but so many specific things that individuals were doing that showed that we understand this, that God wants us not to spend all our time and our resources and our energy and our money on ourselves, but instead that he wants to redeem others through our resources. And so we've done that. You know, that's been the motivating factor. It's what God has been doing within this body that has motivated us to do the things that I want to review here in just a minute, just some of the things that we've done this year. And that will continue to be our motivation. In addition to that, towards the end of this year, God is beginning to help us understand a couple of cycles that are going on in this body. Number one is this cycle of God speaking to us about things that we should do. And when we obey what he says, that through that, he reveals something about himself. He completes his work, and we come to understand who he is when he does that. And when that happens, then we love him more for what we discover. And so our love for God is deeper, and our desire to serve him is deeper. And so that cycle continues to work. Another way of forming that we're going to hold on to this year is this gospel understanding. It starts with a gospel seeking. We are truly seeking the truth about God. That's what we're doing. We're seeking the truth about God. That's revealed in Scripture. It's revealed by his Spirit. It's revealed through other believers. God reveals the truth about himself. And so God draws us to seek him, that gospel seeking. And then God opens our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, so that we can see the reality of who he is as we seek. And then when we come to that discovery, man, there's a gospel motivation that happens. It causes us to not go out because we're supposed to, not because the pastor said or because it's something we do as a church, but we are motivated by what we discovered about God to go and share that with somebody else. And so there's all kinds of expressions of the gospel in our lifestyle and the way we live and the way we talk, the things that we do. we don't judge people anymore because we realize that God doesn't judge us. Yeah, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, and that motivates us to not judge others. And one aspect after another of the character of God motivates us to live differently. And so I see that in you guys, man. I see it. And then after that gospel expression, there's reproduction that happens because people in this community, literally, if I had time today for us to do this, and we need to do this more. As a matter of fact, we probably need to make a resolution, but we need more testimonies. You know, out in the community, we're all hearing stories about what God is doing through you. Not just through the things that we do corporately, through individuals that are out there living for God and impacting lives. Just one example up here on the front row. I can't tell you how many people say to me, we can't believe that's the same man. Amen. You know, but so many of you, God, you are understanding the truth of the gospel. You're living it. It's transforming the way you live. And because of that, people out in the community who have contact with you are being changed by it. That's gospel reproduction. And so I just say that's in a nutshell what God has been doing in our midst this year spiritually. That's the changes that have been going on in this body. And what's happening as a result of that is as our focus is beginning to be outward. We're not focusing on the inside of these four walls anymore. We're not worried about what we get anymore. We're beginning to be a church that's outward focused by our nature, not by the compulsion of preaching, not by the compulsion of an elder group who says this is what we should do. There's a transformation that's happening in this body that's causing us to want to be out in the community. And God is using that and will continue to use that. It doesn't matter how small we are. And so I just want to encourage you guys that's the kind of stuff that's been going on. God has been moving and working, and there's so much. And I'm just going to review very quickly the year, and I want to give you guys five things that I just list them. I'm not going to talk about them in detail. I want to list five things that I'd like for every one of you to consider for this next year. And then we'll be done. And what I want to do is I'm going to put some of these things down. We're going to do some marketing around this for us so that we can grasp it. We're going to take these gospel things. We're going to put them on a lot of somethings so that we can all communicate that to each other. We can say it over and over again. We can study it ourselves, understand it more deeply. But what God is doing right now is impacting our community and impacting the world from this small group of a couple hundred people. God is touching the world. And it's amazing the things that have gone on this year. Because we are encountering God and God is changing us. These are some of the things that have happened. I'm just going to list some of them. Y'all ready? Say, oh yeah. I hope you're as excited as I am as I read these. You know, I forgot about a lot of these things until I sat down and tried to brainstorm and pull all this together. But let me just walk through some of these. Missions this past year. In all of our missionaries that I'm about to discuss here, I just want you guys to know that first of all, we have regular contact. Not always weekly, but almost weekly with all of our missionaries to encourage them, to pray for them. We have a bulletin board. A number of bulletin boards that Ronnie has done for us in the back that she keeps updated with prayer needs. We have their information, their blogs, and we are praying for them and updating regularly. We're not just saying, although we are giving to the cooperative program, which supports missionaries that many of us will never know. These are missionaries that we have personal contact with, that we are regularly encouraging and staying in contact with. These are our missionaries. In Uganda this year, we provided housing, the housing for the Williams family. We took a trip to Uganda, three of us, to train leaders and provide medical care. We did clinics. We taught leaders there. We looked to see what God was doing there to gain vision about how we could plant churches there. Upon our return here, we found out that 164 people were saved and awaiting baptism. They're building another house to do training for leaders because there's no leaders, but they have 20 of those 164 that have come out and said, we want to be leaders in small groups. And so they're going to be planting house churches with 20 brand new believers and training them. And they're having to teach them how to read the Bible in their own language. And so we're basically starting a training school as a result of that. So that's this past year. In Bulgaria, we provided language training for missionaries, for our missionaries there, Justin and Beth Randolph. We have supported them by providing shoes for 84 people for winter shoes this past year. We met with John Campbell, who came and spoke at our church, who's about the possibility of church planting there and doing new ministry in Bulgaria. In Canada, which was a new ministry for us this year, we did a vision trip to meet with church planters. We initiated a relationship with two church planters that were there, two pastors. We provided membership for one of those church planters to a health club in a suburban community where he could go and build relationships. They've been working for 3 years. They've had no converts and very little commitment to the church plant. This year they've seen a man saved, he and his family, and we have two small groups now that are meeting in that suburban community, actually in two different communities, and they meet together bi-monthly for worship. So they started a new small group, and then also we've been giving a Christmas offering, which today you will also be able to give because we haven't met for a while. But if you haven't given to that and would like to give your Christmas offering, these are the missionaries that we're supporting, Kelly and Brooke Reed and their family outside of Calgary. Another new ministry for us this year was Alaska. We're supporting Chris Kopp and his family who are in Galena, Alaska. We did a vision trip last February and met with leaders to cast a vision, a group of leaders who have like-minded and ready to see God do something in that community. It's amazing what God is doing there and the way his timing and putting this thing together. We sent a mission team to go work there. Four of our men went and did major projects that were there. And we've supported them with money and labor to do major projects in their home. We put a wood-burning stove in their house, support that financially. Some of our men actually did the work of putting a bathroom together for them and a kitchen together to feed the students that are coming to that church on Sunday. So a number of different things that we've done there this past year. And have continued to be in contact with Chris and his family, just loving on them and discipling them. I'm excited about what God did there, not only for them, but also in the lives of the men that made those trips. Also a new trip for us this year was a trip to Honduras, where two of our men went and did pastoral training and prison ministry, a part of a team that was doing eye exams and establishing a relationship with Extreme Missionary Adventures, which is a team that we will work with again this next year. We also had one of our ladies go to Nicaragua and participate with this team, with the same group, in doing dental ministry and eye exams and pastor training. Our youth did a mission trip to Natchez this year and helped a family put their house back together after the flood. God's Pit Crew, who's we have two of our members who are involved with a group of people who do after storm care, and we supported them financially and also sent some people, but to Tuscaloosa and Joplin, Missouri this year. We're part of that team, and then also this Christmas we participated in Operation Christmas Child, where we sent gifts to children all around the world who wouldn't get anything for Christmas. That's just a touch. Small part, I'm sure I've forgotten some things, of the ministries that we've done, the missions that we've done this past year through our little congregation that is not being inward-focused, is being outward-focused. I praise God for that. The vision for 2012 regarding missions is this, listen, to continue the support of existing missionaries and ministries through contact and prayer and our financial help, to support these missionaries through trips to Uganda. This year, Andy has felt led at least to go again to Uganda, to Alaska, to Honduras, and to do a site visit in Bulgaria. So that's a vision for this next year regarding these, in addition to continuing our ministry with these other missionaries. We're also taking a trip to Honduras in about 10 days. Four of us from the church are going there to train leaders and look at church planting options. Another thing is a possible new church plant in Calgary, which I'll talk about in just a second. And then there's been some activity in Turkey as well that Andy is praying about. And then a family mission experience that we wanted to do last year, didn't come together, but an opportunity for us as a church family, instead of doing a family camp, doing a family mission experience on Labor Day weekend this coming September. So that's the vision for this next year regarding these mission opportunities. Community ministries, another area. Totally different area, things that we've done in this community. During the holidays, we did an Easter family day at Louisiana College. That's always been a great outreach for us, but this year was much better as far as inviting other people to come. We did a snow party and Christmas party, other children's things, and they all see Follow the Star, opportunities that we provided for children and families to be a part of experiences during the community experiences during the holidays. We encouraged Halloween in the neighborhoods this year. Some of you did, some of you didn't, but I appreciate those of you who took advantage of that and made a difference in your neighborhood, participated in that and invested in your neighbors. And then we did Christmas in the neighborhoods this year, which was different. We spent our Christmas day doing Christmas in our neighborhoods with our family, first of all, and then being an influence. Hopefully you did that. Being an influence in your neighborhood and doing something for your neighbors. Other things that we're doing community ministry-wise, most of you know about Mommy and Me. That happens just about every Monday. It's been a great outreach for us and holds tremendous potential, I think, for continuing to reach this community. We're supporting that. Our children's music camp that we do every summer, we'll be doing again this year. But the children's music camp was a great outreach. It's amazing to me how many children participate in that. When I walk in here to see that every summer, how many kids there are on the platform that are participating, and they just do a tremendous job of ministering there. College outreach. We see so many college students that you guys probably never see that will come and be a part of eating with us on Tuesdays at our house, and we do Bible study together with them. It's been a great outreach for us, reaching students in the area. And then most significantly for us this past year has been three new ministries. Our housing ministry, which all of you are aware of, that we're doing right now. We're providing transitional housing in the basement of our church for people who need help to get back on their feet. And we have had, I don't know how many, Rod is sick this morning, but I was going to get numbers from him, and Mickey's out of town. But I know when I left the other day, there were 13 that we were helping right now. And there were a number that had already transitioned into other housing in other places. So a tremendous ministry that we're offering here that I hear about from people who are in ministry with the homeless all around town. They know about what we're doing here, and they're blessed by it. Benevolence ministry that we do. I can't tell you how many people we've helped by just providing electricity here, water bill here, gas here, bus ticket to go somewhere. I mean, it happens all the time. God is providing through us the opportunity for us to earn the right to be heard with people and to share the gospel with people through our benevolence ministry. And then a really cool thing that Rowdy talked about before the holidays is our Raven ministry, where we are feeding elderly people who are not able to get food that we found, and we are finding more as we find one, we find another in this community. And so that Raven ministry has been tremendous. We have a team of people in our church who are cooking meals, serving meals, providing those, bringing meals every day. I think Rowdy said it'd be in excess of 7,000 meals if we don't have anybody else that we feed this next year. In excess of 7,000 meals comes out of this body. It's a tremendous ministry. This past year, we did three weekends at the food bank. A number of you are part of that, of ministering at the food bank and helping that ministry to get their stuff together. And then, of course, for us this past year, Sinlaw Down Syndrome has really progressed. They've done numerous fundraisers in enhanced community awareness through the Splurge, Pineville High School, health fair they participated in, Veterans Day Parade, Christmas Parade, Lions Club, Peoples with Pets, all this. They've been on the news a number of different times, advertising things. They've been part of the Easter Seals Walk and then the Zombie Walk. And, there's just all kinds of things that are happening as a result of that ministry that was birthed in this body that we support. The community is becoming aware of what is going on in the lives of the people of the gathering place because God is changing us from the inside out. I praise God for that. Sinai Down Syndrome has grown with 7 new families this year, which brings their total families up to 16 families with whom they have contact on a regular basis. They meet every week and have every month and have new people come into their meetings for support. And they've been able to, a number of different times, the 2 hospitals in town have called them to say, we have a new family who's having a child with Down Syndrome, and they're prepared to go and minister to those families to help them. It's an amazing ministry. So Sinai DSA has really moved forward. It's an expression of what God is doing in the lives of believers in this body. And it's touching lives. People don't understand why we're doing that. And the why is because of the gospel. It's because of our understanding of who God is. And it's changing lives. We have an orphan ministry that's begun this year. You know, we've been praying for Titus for a long time. Where is he, by the way, on the list? Where are we? 40-something? 51. And we're praying. We're praying regularly for Titus to come home. And, it's a child from Ethiopia that the Johnsons are adopting, but it's just one of many. But that ministry and that life group has come together. And because of their love for God and their love for the gospel, God is transforming their whole thoughts and ideas about living life for themselves. And instead, now we have families who are considering, and 4 already that have been trained and gone through the process to become foster parents. And so we'll have new kids in here this month, probably, possibly in 4 families who have already paid the price and gone through the training and feel called and led to have to foster children through our little congregation. And I can promise you this. I've heard, I'm personal friends with the guy who runs the Baptist Children's Home, which is, they've been, had a major role in helping our families to be prepared to foster children. And he just can't believe it. He's wanting to put a person down in Central Louisiana, an office here in Central Louisiana because of these people, because of our church. I mean, I don't know what it looks like when he looks at the rest of the state, but apparently that's a big deal to have 4 people in one church that are willing to foster children. So praise God for that. We don't take credit for that, but that's something God's doing in us. Because he's changing us on the inside and getting us to the point where we're more selfless and more concerned about reaching the world that needs Christ. God's been blessing that. So, and then also, of course, a number of you this past Christmas rang bells for Salvation Army, which I can't tell you how much ministry they provide. And we definitely want to be a part of that and appreciate those of you who are able to participate in that ministry. So, vision for this next year. To continue to further develop ministries that we had in 2011, these community ministries, continue to develop those. We're not leaving those. We're not moving away from them in any way. We continue to support those. Secondly, is to support the food and benevolence and housing ministry by further developing the nonprofit Alpha and Omega Ministries, which we've decided that's the way we feel led to be a part of that. You've noticed in our church budget that we are providing a significant amount of money to launch that ministry this year. And so we're going to continue to do that. We're continuing to house a number of those ministries in our church, let them office here. Of course, Alpha and Omega is in charge of the ministry downstairs and the Raven ministry. But all of that will be housed under this organization, and we're going to continue to support that financially, but also help them to get on their feet, help them to draw more support from the community. And to continue to do our benevolence ministry, our food ministry, and our housing ministry through Alpha and Omega Community Ministries. That provides a nonprofit also for other organizations to participate in that might not want to give money to a church. And so we're excited about that for all of our ministries. Down Syndrome is the same way. We hope the orphan ministry will complete their nonprofit this year as well. This is one of our visions. and others to increase community participation in these ministries. It's evident that the Send-Lao Down Syndrome, they've been around longer. They have the blessing and the participation of people all over the Alexandria and Pineville community now. And it's to increase that, not only for them, but for other ministries that we have that have been birthed out of our church. Continue to move forward on transitioning this building to house nonprofits. I don't think I've ever announced this yet from the pulpit, but our option to do worship at the campground around the corner at the Nazarene campground is not happening. They've decided not to allow us to do that. And so we know that God has a plan, and we're believing God for taking this building and transitioning it at some point, because our numbers are increasing, that this building will transition and we're going to have a place to meet, that we will not build, we will not spend millions of dollars on, or even hundreds of thousands of dollars on, but rather that we would find a place that we can meet and continue to use our money to do ministry. So continue to move forward to transition this building to house nonprofits. We want to continue to seek God for a place for a community park. It's one of the visions that God's given us, to continue to seek God for that in this area, a place for a community park. We want to continue to seek God to bring Titus home. We want to continue to seek God to foster children and to join our church family. We want to invest in our children through continuing to do music events, a Christmas and a summer event. And then the last thing envisioned, and I'll reiterate this as we close, but it's to invite our neighbors and friends to children and family events and to provide a place for ministry through our homes. It's a major thing to me, for us. Number three. Area of ministry that we've participated in this past year. It sounds like a lot. I know you guys are getting tired, but guess what? We did a lot, okay? And this is because God is working in us. I praise God for that. Church planting. We've planted three churches in three villages in Uganda already. And we have the potential of planting again now 18 to 20 this next year, just in Uganda. 18 to 20 house churches that we can be a part of this year. We helped to restart a church in Calgary, as I shared earlier. We started a small group in South Alexandria and one in Natchitoches. And we've had ups and downs in the transition of that, but those two groups are still functioning at this point. The one in Natchitoches shows a lot of hope right now because a couple that's joined our church that's going to be ministering there, and two new guys that have moved to town there that are running a coffee shop in Natchitoches that I've met with two different times. And very excited about the ministry there. People of like mind that God's bringing together there. And so we started those two small groups in hopes of them becoming churches. We're supporting a new work in Alaska, Canada, and Uganda by finding and training leaders. There's a possibility this next year, vision for this year, working with the team in Uganda to plant these house churches. Vision is to work with the team in Alaska to plant a new church in Ruby, which is about a two-hour snow machine ride from Galena, the same kind of bush village. They have no Christian witness there at this point, but a small group of believers. And so we have a vision to be a part of that, to at least bring the message there once a week. And there's a new pilot that's teaching at the school that is available to fly them over for a very reasonable price. And so we're looking at that, but we want to be a part of that church plant in Ruby. We're working with a Canadian team to plant a new church in Exshaw, Canada, through David Wilhelm, another pastor that I met when I was in Canada on a vision trip. So that will probably, our vision is to see that happen this year. And then to complete the church plants in South Alexandria and Natchitoches. And then also as a part of our church planting vision is to meet with this year with 50 plus pastors and wives, mostly in SBC churches in Louisiana, to help their churches become vibrant churches that are community-focused and missional, to help them to understand the truths that have changed this church. And so we have we've already set up a ministry where we can do that. And it may look like a retreat for no more than seven pastors and wives. It may happen every weekend, once a month, in the whole year of 2012. That's what we've budgeted. And so we're excited about that. But we're investing in planting churches, our little congregation, has already planted numerous churches, and we're continuing to plant, have a vision to plant more than 20 churches this next year. And we're going to be a part of that. So I hope that you'll invest in that as well. In discipleship, probably should have started here, but we've had 32 new members who've gone through new member training this year and joined our church either by letter or baptism. I'm excited about that. They have an understanding of what we're about, a deep understanding of what we're about. We started 4 new life groups this year, bringing our total to 11 groups. We dedicated 13 babies. 13. We've done summer camp for 2 different summer camps for our children. We did training for children's leaders this past summer. We did 11 FX family experiences, provided packets of information for parents to disciple their children. We sent 12 members on domestic and foreign mission trips this past year. 4 of our members attended a Right Now conference in Dallas for training in doing ministry the way that we do it here in this body. We've had opportunities for incredible worship experiences every week, as I've already said, that allows us to celebrate together. And we've studied God's word and discovered, in discovering his consuming character, have been challenged to become traitors and to center our lives around the gospel. So the vision for this next year, that God would call out 7 new leaders. Let me say that again. That God would call out 7 new leaders for life groups. And I'm praying that God is calling you to be a life group leader this year. We desperately need those. I believe God's given me a word regarding that, and that the hesitancy is not in whether God's calling, but it's in our response to that. So I challenge everyone here to consider yourself as a potential leader and to pray through that. This past year, like as I said, we started 4 new groups, but we need more to take care of the people that are in our church, to continue to develop leaders through life groups that are gospel witnesses and ministers, that we would provide good training and good motivation within our life groups for people to be on mission in our community and around the world, that we provide more training, accountability, and help in developing life group leaders and developing life groups, that we'd have better participation in FX and Sunday morning for kids. Enough said. I mean, I just challenge you guys, pray through that. We need to provide more, have better participation in those FX Friday nights and our Sunday morning discipleship hour for kids. My prayer is that every member would participate in a mission experience this year. Everyone in this building and everyone who's not in this building, who's a part of this body, that you would participate in a mission experience this year. That we'd have a deeper commitment to corporate worship, to being here together, to hearing the word of God that he has for us, to celebrating the gospel together, to hearing the vision and the plan for our body, to be encouraged and strengthened and to gain some insight about who God is. I hope that you guys will be more committed to that, have a deeper commitment to that this year. The vision is that we would outgrow our space with genuine worshipers, that we would outgrow this space with genuine worshipers on Sunday morning. Not because we did some kind of a campaign, but because people are just hungry for the gospel and because you guys are out there giving it to them, that they would be drawn to be here, to be a part of this, to celebrate the gospel together with us. I hope that'll happen this year. And that we'd add also in the area of discipleship, that we'd add an 8th elder this year to provide oversight, particularly of life groups, that somebody that would be called and skilled in that area. So I'm going to stop there. I know that there's a lot of stuff that we've done that I didn't mention. And I know that if I opened up the floor and we went into testimonies, you wouldn't share because you're tired. But I know that you guys have a lot to share about what God's done in your life and in this body. But I want to close with this. I want to ask you guys to make some commitments, and I'm going to put these in writing this week, and we'll put it in a form that it will constantly be before our eyes, because we're not talking about a resolution that you start today and you end tomorrow. I'm asking for all of us to commit to some things, to 5 things, but not including this one. First of all, let me just, I assume that all of you will continue to develop your understanding of who God is, and through that increase your love for God, that you'll let that cycle always run through your life, that that's a given, that if you're a child of God, this is an ongoing thing, that you're going to constantly be seeking and getting to know God by obeying what he says and letting him reveal himself to you, that you'll continue to just be enamored in a deeper way with the person of God. Because it's out of that love for God, that you get this love for others that causes us to do the other things. And so I hope that you'll continue to do that. Then, number one, that you'd get into a life group. Consider being a leader, hosting a group in your home, but be in a life group. If you're not in one, be in one. Start one. Commit. You don't have to be a teacher to be able to start one. We'll talk to you about that. Just start a group in your community, in your neighborhood. And start with your neighbors. They don't have to be members of this church. Start with anybody that's interested in a Bible study. We have had as many at times in life groups that are not members of this church as those that are. We have one life group that has about three or four members of our church in it, and they regularly have between 10 and 15. You know, we have another life group that just, the only ones that are members are the people that are leading it. It's great. Do that. You know, this is our way of getting the gospel out in our communities. But get into a life group, number one. Number two, commit to touching your neighbors. I say commit to touching your neighbors. I don't know that that's the best term. You maybe might not want to be touched, but we're going to put it there anyway. All right, but you know what I mean. Don't commit to sharing the gospel with your neighbors. Just commit to touching your neighbors. Love your neighbors. Spend time with your neighbors. And when God presents the opportunity, the natural thing is going to be to share the gospel. But God has to present that opportunity. But most of us are not even earning the right to be heard. We're not even connected in our neighborhoods. Connect to your neighborhood. And if you live on the river by yourself, connect to somebody else's neighborhood. All right. Number three, go on a mission trip. Okay? Labor Day is going to be a cheap one. Everyone can afford to go. We're going to do that down probably in South Louisiana. And go down and work with some churches and do some testimonies and things like that to encourage those churches to embrace some of the distinctives of this church. Just to encourage them that they can do it. But be a part of that. But or go on a mission trip. Go to Uganda or go to Alaska or go to Bulgaria on that site trip. Be a part of those trips. Many who, at least the 12 who went this year, would all say that that's a life-changing experience. Number four, commit to increased participation in Sunday mornings and invite friends. It's okay to invite people to come, all right? We're not about church. They're going to know that right away. But it's good to go ahead and invite people to come now, okay? God's done something in this body. I think it's advantageous. I love the fact that Stephen and Brooke came from Natchitoches to hear a testimony of Stephen Pruitt. And when they walked in the door, their testimony is this: we've been looking for this. How many of your friends are looking for this? I mean, they need to understand. They need to be in a church where they can experience the gospel. Right? All right, so this is our year. I'd ask you to commit to increase your participation in Sunday mornings and bring people with you. And then number five, increase your financial support for these ministries as God leads. I've already shared the budget. We're going to vote on that in just a minute. But the budget this year, the proposed budget is a $77,000 increase above what we're taking in. And I didn't stutter. If we do the things that we feel like God's calling us to do this year, these visions that I just shared with you, if we do those things the way that we believe that God's leading us to do them, then it's going to require that we come up with another $77,000 this year. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are tithing, and you need to quit. Because tithing is an Old Testament concept. Doesn't mean it's not spiritual. It was. But we don't need to give any differently than we serve. You need to be giving out of what you understand God has given to you. You need to be giving out of this the blessing of understanding the reality of God. Look, if do you realize the gospel describes God as the, having the cattle on a thousand hills, having the power to do anything, to be able to provide, be, as we read this morning, way beyond what we're able to think or imagine? I just want to ask you guys to, you know, challenge you guys to get beyond tithing. And some of you never tithed before, and you're not giving because you think you have to tithe. Just give something. But pray and ask God what to give. But some of you may need to be giving half your income, half your time. I don't know. I'm just saying, let's get beyond rules and regulations. We're not that way with anything else in this church. So let's let it be out of our relationship with God. I challenge you guys to go home and pray and ask God, what do we need to give? Okay? And there's your tithing testimony for the year. Don't tithe. So if anybody asks you, did you preacher ever preach on tithing? Yeah, he said, don't. Okay? You can say that. I'm saying, look, we're going to do whatever God tells us to do. He's going to provide for the things that he tells us to do. Now, some of you, he wants to give it through your through you so that you can grow in your understanding of who he is. And he may challenge some of you like he has for us and our family so many times in our lives to give beyond what we're able and then watch him provide so we can learn by experience that he's provider. Some of you, he might want you to, you might have been given out of guilt all of your life and you've increased to 20% and God never told you to do that. You might need to decrease in what you're giving. I'm cool with that because you know what? I'm not depending on you. I'm depending on God. Amen? Right? So give. Man, give out of the overflow of what God's doing in your life. We just know that we have these needs. If God wants to provide them for you, great. If he doesn't, he's more than able to do what he did a couple of years ago and provide hundreds of thousands of dollars for us beyond our budget from a source, from an unexpected source in a depressed economy. Okay, we're not depending on you. We're depending on God. But I do want you guys to continue to grow. You know, we need to continue to express in our giving the love that we have for God. So do that. You know, don't not give. That's definitely not good. Okay, give. Find out what you need to give, though. Pray and ask God. I believe God will reveal that. I think we're all going to have a celebration next December 31st where you all have to sit through me giving another list of things that God did. And at the end of that, I'm going to be able to say, remember when we said that there was 77,000 more that we needed than what we had? God way more than provided for that. Y'all believe that's going to happen? I do too. I'm going to be a part of it by giving what God tells me to give. So I encourage you to do the same. All right. Let's pray together and let's make a few announcements and vote on our budget. Father, I thank you for just an awesome, awesome year. Discovering you, God, and just discovering your incredible character by experience as we've just done life together and done life with you. Lord, we've grown by our experiences that we've had with you personally. We've grown by sharing experiences with others in the body who have had beautiful testimonies of your work in their life. And Lord, because of all of that, we're overwhelmed, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to love you back by doing missions and ministry and planting churches and discipling and God, all the things that we've been able to do. And so, God, we want more of that this year. God, give us more. Give us more experiences with you, more knowledge of who you are. Help us to be so overwhelmed, Lord, that the gospel revelations that you give will provide motivation for us to share the truth with others in the way we live and the things we say, the ministries that we do. Let it all be expressions, God, of our love for you. Never let our ministries be motivated by anything else, God, than our love. And so help us love you more. Show us more of yourself. Thank you that you are God, that as Jesus revealed to us in his own testimony, that you're God who loves us enough to show us what you're doing and that we do whatever you do. God, that's all we got to do. So thank you that, Lord, we can just be yours and then everything else that happens in life would be fruit of that. Make that so more this year than ever before. We praise you, God, and thank you for what you're doing in this body and for giving us an opportunity to serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen.